You know, as a young man, I was raised in a family with my mom and dad. Both were pastors. They taught the word, raised in a great home. I had access to a lot of great men and women, preachers and teachers, who would come by my father's church. And in my late teens, especially like 14 and on, I would ask them all kinds of questions. About some of them would have incredible ministries with the sick. Others would have words of knowledge, very prophetic. Others just amazing people. And I'd often ask them, how did you get to this place where you are now, where you're ministering like this, or I see this incredible strength on you? And they'd all have different things that they practiced. But there's one thing I noticed they all said. They all talked about a love for Jesus. And they all talked about a love for His Word. And they'd all tell me about the way they would study the Word. One guy told me that in his prayer time, he would go into a closet, turn off all the lights till it was pitch black, and he wouldn't be disturbed for a and he would just talk to God. Others would have different ways they would practice this getting to know Jesus and getting to know His Word. And so I decided one day, I heard an incredible message when I was 19 years of age, that I was going to begin to get into God's Word like I had never done before. Now, I knew God's Word. Mom and Dad, I mean, they taught me the passion. I knew the Word of God probably better than most adults when it came to knowing the promises, the principles, the covenants, the things of the Word. But yet, I knew there was something that I needed to do to know Jesus for myself. And I began to, every day, I began to study the Word. Back then, we had cassettes. And so I would ask all the people I knew, do you have cassettes of any great preachers? And Sal and I weren't married yet, and so I lived with this other guy who had a passion for God's Word too. And so every morning I'd get up before I went to the hospital where I was working, and I would listen to one message, and I would just quiet myself, and I'd just listen to God's Word. And then when I got home that night, I would find time to study, but I was listening to a lot of great teachers. I found that I would listen to some of the cool preachers who could really encourage you. You're awesome, you're amazing, you're going to do good, you're going to be amazing. And I found that I didn't enjoy that kind of, encouragement as much as I enjoyed somebody who taught me the Word of God. And as I learned the Word, something changed inside of me. I actually can't put it into words. Other than as a young guy, I begin to find myself in the promises and in the Word of God. I found that there was a confidence that I had never experienced before about myself that began to happen about the time I began to go daily into the Word. I found that I would know things that I couldn't explain how I knew them other than a knowing that began to rise up on the inside. And if you've read my book, The Spirit Contemporary Life, or heard me speak for any now, you'll often hear of the miracles that took place in my life that just happened. And I begin to find this love for God, this love for His Word that I've actually never stopped doing. The Bible's really interesting because the Bible says there are mysteries in the Bible that are designed to be revealed. You know, in this world today, we have a lot of secret organizations. I could name them publicly, but I won't. Every country has these secret organizations, and they often tell you about different levels of enlightenment. And when you join this secret society, they'll take you through one, and then you'll have to get involved in this group. And as you continue all these different levels, you'll learn a new mystery, but it eventually takes you away from God. It's interesting. The amount of people over the years that I've spoken with who were a part of these secret societies, who usually have a very powerful hold on finance, decision-making in the cities, countries, etc. But in this desire for people to learn mysteries, but Christians, for some reason, we get a few principles in the Word, we go to church a few times, and we lose this for the Word of God. It's as though, I know about the cross, I know about healing, I know about heaven and hell, what else is there to know? And we have forgotten that there are mysteries. And the Bible teaches us that these mysteries, that all mysteries are hidden in Christ. Not just a working knowledge of Christ, but that we can literally begin to be fascinated with a relationship with him, and mysteries begin to be revealed. Now, these mysteries, they can be in many areas. The things that really begin to influence me was as something changed within me and my spirit began to be in lead position. You see, you have three parts. You are a physical body that you live in. It's your earth suit, I call it. You have a mind. It's your emotions, your will, your thinking. And then you are a spirit, where if you've given your life to Christ, the Spirit of God is in your spirit. Now, when God made you, he made your spirit to be in lead position, and your mind supports your spirit, and your physical body and its desires would follow as well. But in the garden, when Adam and Eve messed up and decided, we're going to do what we want to do, we're not going to listen to God, the presence of God went out. Just bam, just phew, right out of their spirit. And mankind began to walk around as two-thirds a human being. And the part of God, his presence, that wasn't just in their spirit, it permeated their emotions, their thinking. It permeated their physical body to such a degree that it just changed. This body would live forever. It was designed that way. This mind would be so beautifully following spirit. And there's a voice to each part of you. Okay, the voice of your spirit is this conscience, this perception. The voice of your mind is reasoning. And the voice of your body is this desires and feelings. And of course, you can't let the desires and feelings do whatever they want. And your mind, it'll go in crazy directions if you don't begin to understand. And so once Holy Spirit, and you begin to get into God's Word and study His Word, and you begin to find out who you are and who God is, something begins to happen to you. And it's not, I can't explain it to you, because it's not reasoned out. It's not to the mind. It's the connection at the heart level. But when you stay in God's Word and you begin to pursue Jesus as a relationship, you begin to perceive, the Bible says. Now, the word perceive doesn't mean learn or have knowledge, that you just begin to perceive things. You begin to literally get corrected. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is living and that it permeates the very, it says it literally goes in and it divides your soul and your spirit and your physical body. It's putting them back into order. It's showing you how to live. Because if you live by your emotions, you are a pain in the royal butt to be around. Because you think every emotion you have, you get to do what you want with that emotion. And you hurt people, and you destroy things, and you'll never walk through life with wisdom. If you are a person who's in not just the body or the feelings are in lead position, but your mind is, then everything's got to be reasoned out. If you can't reason it out, then you don't believe it. And the mind is so small compared to the spirit, because it only has five senses to feed it. But the spirit is something that when you begin to perceive, when you begin to comprehend things, there are changes inside of you that you can't explain. And as a young 19-year-old, I begin to sense this confidence. And I couldn't put my hand on it. It wasn't an arrogance. It was a confidence. I was nowhere near perfect. Don't get me wrong. I lots of mistakes. But this sense on the inside, I found that I begin to love. Something changed inside as I was drawn to people, as I would look past their mistakes, and I could more often just see what God was trying to do. I could sense things that I couldn't explain, and I would just move in that direction, and it was the correct direction. And people would say to me as a young guy, how did you know to do that? I go, I don't know, I just knew. And I found out that when you begin to get into God's Word and you begin to just love it, you begin to focus on it, that it doesn't just give you knowledge, but something happens at the heart level, and His presence and His power rises up, and you begin to walk like Jesus walked. None of us will be as perfect as Jesus. But his, you know, the Bible says in the Amplified that we can have the mind of Christ. And it says His feelings, His emotions, His way of thinking. Did you know that that's the way God designed you and I? That for thousands of years, mankind functioned on this planet without the Spirit of God within them. So reasoning really rose up. I mean, people lived by their feelings and by their flesh, and whatever they wanted to do, they did. And they even celebrate that today. People will brag about, man, I do what I want when I want, and they think that that's the way to live. But if you live with your feelings and your flesh in lead position, you're going to be one unhappy, depressed camper at some spot. If you live with your reasoning in lead position, well, your spirit man, by the way, you actually will never sense him know Him or even sense the presence of God rising up because you've given leadership to your reasoning. But when you begin to get into God's Word, the Bible says He'll put you in order. He'll heal you up. He'll help divide soul from spirit. And I believe what He's saying here, because this is what I sense, that things begin to come into order. I love feelings, but I refuse to live by my feelings. You understand? God's got feelings, but He does not change His mind because He feels upset right now. He lives by character and honor and His word and integrity. But I love positive feelings. And I began to find that I could control the negative feelings better. I found that I could sense God and know God. I just found that overall there was a fruit of the Spirit that began to flow in my life, like a patience I'd never had before, like a long-suffering, like a joy. That I would say, why are you always so happy? You know, people would just sense things. When you begin to get into God's Word, and God's Word begins to come inside your life. Well, let me give you an example of Jesus teaching it, because this is astounding. In Mark 4:26, this is Jesus Christ talking, and He says, "This is the kingdom of God," or "this is how it works." It's as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And he sleeps, and he rises night and day. Days go by, and the seed springs up, and it grows, and he doesn't even know how. Now, in this chapter, I'm going to cut through a ton of teaching so you can, we haven't got time, but the soil is your heart, this deeper part of you. Now, the seed is God's Word. You'll never have life or any permanent changes in your life as a Christian unless the seed of God's Word is meditated on, contemplated, and because then it begins to get planted in your heart. So the seed is God's Word, the soil is your heart. Now what's interesting is that as you begin to read and meditate on God's Word and just take some time spending, that it says you will change and grow and you don't know how. You don't even know what's going on. Interesting in the testimony today that she said, you know, she knew she was guarded. She knew that she didn't have much emotion. She knew that she was hurt and that there was a lot of people that she couldn't forgive. And these things just begin to happen. And she can't even give you how it happened other than she's at church in the Word. And all of a sudden, she's forgiving. All of a sudden, she is experiencing more emotions. She's enjoying life. She wants to be a part of a community. What's going on? She can't even put to words like I can't put to words on how to teach you, because I'm not talking about your reasoning. Oh, you can reason the Word of God, and you can pigeonhole it and put it, this is about redemption, and this is about righteousness, and this is about, oh, and I've done that, and our mind should do that. But when you come to church like this, and you begin to become fascinated with God's Word, and you focus on it. Now, I found as a young man that the more I got into God's Word, the more the desire was for God's Word, which is different than your body, because if your body doesn't eat, it gets starving hungry. And if you eat lots, you lose a desire for food. Like, when you fill up with food at Easter time so much that you can barely hold it in, and someone says, hey, want a Sunday? You don't even want to look at it. You're just so full. You lose the desire. But God's Word is completely different. As you begin to discipline yourself to read, to meditate, you begin to, a desire begins to grow and grow and grow. And it is here that God has intended Christians to live. Because He says, as He is, Jesus, so are we in this world. We are to function like Jesus, be like Jesus. We're to have His emotions, His thoughts, His desires, because we are made in the likeness and the image of God. And we can have His feelings, His desires. And that's what's stunning about the Word of God. Now, let me show you another part here. All right, so the kingdom of God, He said, is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And he goes to sleep, rises night and day. The seed springs up, and he doesn't know how. Your life begins to change, and you can't put your finger on it. I had a couple come to church a few years ago, and I met them in the hallway, and they looked brutal. And so I popped by and said, hey, how you guys doing? Good. I said, how long you been coming to church? First time. I said, well, welcome. How'd you hear about it? Oh, we're getting a divorce. And we just thought we'll give one more thing a shot, and we'll come to church. So we're here, and I said, so you two are getting a divorce. I had to clarify this. Yep. I said, so it's that bad? She goes, oh, yeah. Him, oh, yeah. And it was brutal. And so they said, well, we thought we'd try this last ditch for our kids' sake, and if not, we're getting divorced. They go, do me a favor. Don't just come once. If you're going to break up years of a marriage, then come for, I told them, 3 months. Come for 3 months and just come. And then make the decision. Well, I said, no, I want you to promise me. I just pushed him. All right. Now, way past that, I don't know when it was, 6 months further, I happened to look at this couple coming down a hallway and I just thought, just a minute, that's that woman that hates her husband. That's the guy that couldn't stand her. And they're holding hands, laughing, looking at each other. So I walked over and I said, hey, how you guys doing? Oh, hi, Pastor Leah, we're doing so good. I said, what happened? Excuse me? What happened? Well, what do you mean? I said, well, when I talked to you last, which was like earlier part of the year, you guys were getting a divorce, couldn't stand each other, you hated each other. I said, like, what took place? And he's looking at her, she's looking at him, and they couldn't quite figure it out. They said, we don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You hated each other, but right now I'm looking at you, and I think you guys are in love. Oh, yes, she says. Oh, yes, he said. And they could not put their finger on anything that actually happened, other than as they sat here under the Word and began to get focused on God's Word. God's Word takes root deep in you, which is called your heart, and it begins to grow. Now, what grows? The attributes of God, the characteristics of God, the fruit of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, all these things begin to grow in you. And these two were completely changed by simply hearing the Word of God. Now, to you mature believers, listen to me. We get to a place in our Christianity where we lose an awe for the mysteries of God. And when you do, you begin to plateau, because you need the Word being planted in your heart for you to have the harvests of new things in your heart and in your mind. Let me read you a portion of Scripture that is just really weird. Listen to this. Now we're going to go to Mark chapter 4, verse 22. It says, things are hidden temporarily, only as a means to be for revelation. For there is nothing that is hidden except to be revealed, nor is anything temporarily kept secret except in order that it may be made known. You see, the secret societies alive today, they keep people in it because they keep tempting you with there's mysteries that you don't know, mysteries to life. And as you come and go down that track, you'll find out it is anti-God. Now, they'll think of different words to get you there until finally years of your life have gone by and you're in this thing. And these mysteries, you know, you keep waiting for, but in God's Word, you already know that you're getting to know God. You already know. But these mysteries are here to be known. That means that there are mysteries I don't know. That I don't know yet. There's mysteries you don't know yet. And if you do not continue this relationship with God and begin to get God's Word on the inside of you, you'll never know them. As I travel this planet, I meet some of the most amazing men and women. And you can tell where someone knows Jesus. I can't put my finger on it. It's not always the same. Some are quiet and, you know, and very sincere. Some are just filled with laughter and joking around. But when you meet them for any length of time, there's just something different about them. There is a joy. There's a sense of God. And there's a depth to them when it comes to relationships and life and their purpose and where they're going and who they are. That they can't even explain it to you other than they have a genuine, powerful relationship with Jesus. And the Word is something that they love. So here it says that there are mysteries. Now these mysteries, you see, you need to be fascinated with the Word. And if you've stopped reading the Word and you no longer have a desire for it, if you'll just start, as you start, pick up a great book or a teaching series and get into God's Word, the desire begins to rise up. And it'll rise up stronger and stronger till each a part of every day is given to your relationship with Jesus. Now here's what happens when you do. Listen to this. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive, and let him comprehend. It doesn't say that you're going to learn it with your mind. It's, and we know you do, but there's something that you begin to perceive. Your heart begins to soak up the Word of God. It begins to grow. The forces of life that the of God begin to grow on the inside of you. Listen to this. And he said to them, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study that you give to the truth, that you hear determines the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. I would talk with these men and women that came through our home when I was a teenager. And I recognized, because many times, one time my dad's pastor was there and he had a trailer out back helping us build the church. And whenever I'd pop by in the mornings, in the quietness of the early morning, he'd be studying the Word of God. Well, the guy was in his 70s. He'd been studying the Word of God for 50 years, and he was fascinated with it. I'd meet other people that when they started talking about the Word, you'd want to talk about the Word for hours because they just had a love and a passion and an ability to talk about it. And so when you begin to get into God's Word, you begin to perceive, and it's the measure. So how much study you put into it determines how much comes back again. Or put it this way, if you're going to go to the seed, which is God's Word, and to the soil, which is your heart, if you want big gardens, get planting. If you want a little pot in your window, that takes a minute. If you want acres and acres of incredible stuff growing, then you get to it. If you do not treasure, the Bible says, Jesus teaches it this way. He goes, when you look at God's kingdom and how it functions, he said that if it's like a pearl of great price that you see and you got to sell everything you have and go buy the pearl. Is that the way you look at Jesus, his word, and living in God's kingdom? Because if you don't, you'll begin to look for mysterious wisdom in many other places as though that's going to bring change. But let's move on from there. It says, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear is going to be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Now listen to this continuum. For to him who has, more will be given. And from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. This is a continuum that as you begin to get into God's word and you begin to plant God's word in your heart, that it begins to grow and it begins to impact every area of your life. It's like planting an apple seed. One apple seed goes into the ground and up comes a tree and there's going to be thousands of apples. And if you got 10 apple seeds per apple, I mean, that's 10,000 apples. And every time that tree buds again, there's going to be more apples. And every apple that falls and hits the ground and 10 seeds from every apple goes into the soil, there's apples growing everywhere. Your kingdom of apples in your apple farm just starts to grow exponentially. But if you have nothing in that soil and it's just black, well, you're going to eat up last year's seed. You're going to eat up whatever you've got. You're going to sell your house, try to get food. Everything begins to just disappear in your life. You can be a born-again believer, and when you disconnect from God's word, it's like taking a branch and breaking it off of a tree because it's the roots that feed that branch. And every year will bring fruit and all that is needed. Your life is like that. And I want to challenge you today that you cannot just be a believer and think that every time an emergency comes, you're going to pray. And that's the key. Pray for a miracle. I don't like praying for miracles. You know why I don't like praying for miracles in my life? Because it means I've got a big problem. I don't like big problems. I want to walk in health. It's better than needing a miracle. I want to walk where, while I'm sleeping, God adds to my life. Health and prosperity and business and knowledge and peace and joy. My abilities to know him and to function on this world. When Jesus walked this planet, nothing stumped him. Nothing stopped him. They couldn't even kill him until he said, I give my life freely. This man walked in an amazing ability. And I want you to understand that. Make sure that this Jesus that you've given your life to, that you didn't just get married and that was it, like you gave your life to him, and now there's no desire to get to know him. Just fall in love with God's word. Just make a decision that I'm going to continue. I'm going to discipline myself every day. You know, those of you who got your degree in something, you didn't enjoy university. I mean, you enjoyed the partying, you enjoyed the barracks, you enjoyed some of it. But when it came to memorizing these books and taking these tests and the stress and the all-nighters as you're trying to get through this content and write the exams, that was hard. But you kept at it because you had a dream and a vision for where you're going to go with your life. The same is true for God's word. Listen to me. You will not function in the kingdom of God. All of Jesus' teachings in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are about functioning in the kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God is a kingdom on the planet that doesn't have a territory of topography or physical, but it is a group of people. Now, this kingdom is within you, and the Bible says that you can learn the principles of the kingdom, and that even though others are living in the failures and the heartache and the frustration and the pain, that even as you go through life, which has got all of that, the peace never goes. The the joy never goes. And as others' lives just torpedo down, because even it says, those who have nothing, even what they have is taken away. Those who have, they just keep having more and more. It's this continuum is showing us in God's word. Begin to make a decision. Young person, grandpa or grandma, make a decision that if Jesus needed the word of God, if Jesus needed a relationship with Holy Spirit when he walked this planet, then so do you and I. And stop seeing God's word like every other book, that it's just, well, I'm going to learn some more stuff. You'll learn. But what's even more important, that as you begin to open his word, maybe read a good teaching book, maybe begin to listen to messages like I would do day after day. Something begins to happen inside of you. You can't explain it, but it changes your relationships. It changes life. It changes your destiny. It changes your identity. Something inside becomes so real and amazing that you don't even have to figure things out. The favor of God just seems to be on display in your life, and you begin to walk from blessing to blessing instead of from mess to mess. I've watched people over the years and their life is so messed up, and every decision they make is, I'm going, that's a wrong decision. Too late. And it just goes one from the frying pan to the fire to worse and worse. And then others, even when they make a mistake or it looks like a mistake, it just turns around in the favor of God. Just keeps blessing them and blessing them. So, well, Leon, it's not fair that God does that for one person and not the other. No, God doesn't make that decision. God has given, if you've given your life to Christ, he's within you. And he's saying to you that the measure of thought and study you give to his word is going to determine the virtue and the favor. Virtue is your ability to live in this great godliness. But his virtue is this power that works in every area of life, from relationships to finances to career. God's not naive about computers. He's not naive about every area out there. And so as you get his word inside of you, that's when you get to know Jesus in a better way. And that's when you begin to walk and you begin to work the principles of the kingdom. Matthew 6:33 teaches us that if you'll pursue the kingdom, and that's only through his word and knowing Jesus, that it says everything you desire will be added to you. I watch some Christians running around like a chicken with their head chopped off, trying to find a promise for the 14 areas they're struggling with right now. And there's others who just get to know Jesus. They get to put the kingdom principles to work, and you can just see favor and wisdom in all that they do as their life just changes. I can't give it to you in steps. I can't give it to you in keys. Find his promises of who you are, what Christ has done from the cross to the throne. And as you do in your prayer time, speak them out loud. Meditate, which means see yourself in that promise. You see, every word creates pictures. Someone got after me. They said, well, Leon, when you're teaching people to see the answers before you get there, that's just mind over matter. That's new age. I said, no, it's not. The Bible says we don't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. Every time you speak a word, it creates a picture. And did you know that as you begin to get into God's word and pray his word, like if you find a promise that says that the God will be with you and save you and keep you, as you speak those words, spoken words interrupt negative thinking. Did you know that? If you're in fear right now and you're thinking about something that could be wrong, as soon as you begin to speak God's word, the control center of the brain takes the words that you speak and dominates all your feelings and emotions with spoken words. I mean, a brain doctor, a neurologist will tell you that. Now, and when you say words, people don't see words. If I say, oh, there's a lion walking through the door, a great big lion, he's growling with great big teeth and his mane is everywhere, and he's got a little white lamb in his mouth, and it's dead, it's laying there limp, and blood is dripping off that white fleece onto the floor. You're not seeing words. You're not seeing letters. You're not seeing, you're seeing pictures. Everything you say paints pictures on your heart, and it goes negative or it goes positive. When you take God's word, it goes a billion times past that, because God's word is alive. God's word is filled with mysteries. It's filled with revelation. It's filled with truth. And as you begin to speak God's word, the impact it has on getting it into your heart, truth sets you free, and you begin to move, and your life begins to change at a rate that is stunning. Speak his word. Meditate on how it should affect you. What do you see? When you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, what pictures does that create for you? Well, I see myself laughing in my marriage. I see myself winning, excited at the top of the heap of my career. Good, because that verse should cause something to be seen. Holy Spirit's job is to show you things to come and to lead you into all truth in your life. Father, today I ask that you would touch each of us with this incredible desire to spend time in your word so that we could know you, so that something would get planted in our heart every day, and that harvests would never stop as we continue to grow into your image, as we continue to walk in your favor and blessing, as we continue to grow in the very fruits of the Spirit, and every area of our life gets touched by it. Help us as a church to crave your word. Help us as a church to just be focused on it. And Father, help us to use what we know to reach the lost for you first. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed for just a moment, I want to close my message down with a powerful prayer. It's a prayer that I prayed when I decided to give my life to Christ. It's a prayer that many of us here have prayed. But if you're here, for all of those that are here, and you say, you know, I'm not sure that I've given my life to Jesus, then this prayer's for you. Or maybe you did at one time, but you kind of walked away and forgotten about him, and it's time to come back. Then praying this prayer will do something powerful and deep in your world as you reconnect with him. So before I pray, for all of those that would say, Leon, please include me today. I'm giving my life to Christ. Would you raise your hand? All the auditorium, just give me a quick wave so I see it. Put it right back down. Thank you, others. Thank you, others. For those who are watching on our other campuses, there's a leader right there. Maybe you're watching on one of YouTube. Just right now, pray this prayer with us and make this decision to give your life to Christ. For all of us who have prayed this prayer already, let's pray it with them out loud. It goes like this. Just say, Dear God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus, who died in my place and qualified me for this new life. Jesus, come into my heart. I'm following you for the rest of my days as my Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's how beautiful, how powerful that is.